Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
When I was a boy, my maternal grandfather and I would go for walks along the Little White River on the northern part of the reservation. We walked along the river, over the hills, across the meadows, the prairies, wherever. And this occurred over a few years, in any season of the year. He just liked to walk. He liked the physical activity to walk, and he liked to look at the land. He liked to point things out to me. And I paid attention. But there was something that he did. We would stop every now and then. And he did this frequently. He would stop and he would grab me by the shoulders and he would turn me around and he would make me look at the trail the way we had come to this point. And he would say, remember that trail, remember the way we came. And I dutifully said, yes, Grandpa. He did this a lot. Finally, when I was 7, the year before I went away to school, I worked up the nerve to ask him, well, Grandpa, why are you saying it? Why are you making me look back? And his answer was simple enough, and it fell into place for me years later. He said, one of these times I'm going to send you back down these trails by yourself. And if you don't remember the way, you will be lost. To me, that is a statement about our past. That big quantifiable past that is there, that is larger than anything in our lives. If we don't know how we got to the point that we are as individuals and as a society, but especially as individuals, then we're lost. Because we don't know where we came from. Not the flamboyant warrior with the feathers in his hair and lance in his hand, which is an iconic image that everybody has of Native people. No, that's not what we were about. That's only part of what we were. Only a small part of what we were as people. The other part is compassion and having a purpose and taking care of each other. Those were the most important things. So that's why ancestry is important to me. That's why ancestry should be important to everybody. No matter who we are, whether we're Native or not, no matter what our culture is, no matter what our society is, no matter what our standing in the community is, I don't care what we do for a living, ancestry is important. You have to know the trail that you came down to be at the point that you are as an individual. You have to look back at that trail, the road that you have walked with your ancestors, their values, kind of people they were, the kind of mistakes they made, the kind of accomplishments they had. They're all a part of me. All of that is part of who I am.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Joseph Marshall from the Hopi tribe, and I thought it was appropriate for us to explore, you know, where have we come from and where are we going as a people? Period. We've been going through a lot this week, and I don't want to be a damper, nor do I want us and everyone listening in to feel heavy-hearted. I know it's important for us to accept that we are confused and we certainly don't like what we're witnessing and we don't want it to be a reoccurring norm in the country. And so what do we do? Where do we go? Do we know where we've come from and where we're going? And if we perhaps collectively sit together and really sit and think, every newborn baby is born with good. And if each and every one of us had that good, then there's something that's happening in the soul. There's something happening in the spirit. And perhaps we haven't been able to offer the right kinds of tools, wisdom, guidance, space, inspiration to serve that specific area of our inner being. We are either going to feed the wolf that is angry and vicious and hateful, or we're going to feed the wolf that has self-respect, honor, dignity, and is humble. There's no other time in history that I've witnessed in my lifetime, over 50-something years, that I need to be awake, but I need to stay awake. I know if I'm a student, I've just started waking up, but the teachers, are you staying awake? Are you staying awake and contributing to raising the bar of presence and raising the bar of courage, perseverance, resilience? Are you staying awake and encouraging others to either stay awake or to wake up and feed the wolf that has dignity, honor, humility? It gives me great pride to welcome our next guest on the America Meditating Radio. Chief Sylvia Moyer joined the Tempe, Arizona Police Department as the chief in March of 2016. California native, Chief Moyer has almost 30 years of local police experience. Her vast experience provided her a comprehensive perspective on the rewards and the challenges of modern policing in integrated and progressive communities. Now, Chief Moyer has spent most of her early career with the Sacramento Police Department, where I happened to have been last week. And she served in every division of the department and served as a chief of the El Cerrito Police Department from 2010 until her appointment as police chief in Tempe. This is a person who has continued to move her life forward by the values, the ethics, and the beliefs that she stands on. She's currently now the head of the Tempe Police Department, and she's also currently an executive fellow for the Police Foundation on the Community Policing Committee of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, an advisor for the American Law Institute and the Law Enforcement Council for the U.S. Humane Society. Today, we're really honored to welcome Chief Sylvia Moyer to the America Meditating Radio. Chief Moyer, welcome.
Thank you so very much.
May I ask that we hold a moment of silence before we begin our conversation for all the police officers who go out on duty every single day and their families have no idea if they're going to come home the way they left their house. Because I know there's a lot going on, and we need to continue our prayers, our well wishes for what has happened in our country just a few days ago and for the lost lives of 59 members of our country, but also for the hundreds that are fighting for their lives and, Chief Moyer, the psyche that our country is enduring at this time. Can we hold a moment of silence together? Thank you so much. Chief Moyer, how are you feeling at this time with what happened in your own state of Arizona?
Well, obviously, I think law enforcement professionals, and I am included in that, we're feeling a sense of awareness and potentially some hypervigilance to the behaviors that we are so committed to intervening with, those people that want to do harm to others. So I think we're really struggling with remaining open-hearted and compassionate to the suffering of all people that were involved in this tragic event, and also at the same time answering questions about how we can continue to safeguard people.
You know, it concerns me, Chief Moyer, because it seems as if civilians are becoming even more equipped with weapons than our police officers, than our first responders, and that concerns me tremendously. Is it also concerning you at the force?
I think police executives across this nation struggle with that very concept, not only that people are well-armed, but that they choose a path of violence, and that is of a concern to all of us in this society and U.S. professionals, and particularly those of us that serve locally and in uniform. We work in an increasingly demanding, complex, and scrutinized operational and legal environment that really challenges us tremendously.
Well, our prayers and our good wishes are always with you, because with the scenes that are playing out, I think it will test anyone, Chief Moyer, and it doesn't matter how long you're on the force. It doesn't matter the mere fact that you've got such a compassionate heart and you want to make sure everyone is okay and safe. These scenes are playing out. Does it drive you and your team to look for some kind of an emotional or spiritual resolve or resilience? Because it's not easy when you're constantly faced with, and I never use this word, Sylvia, never, but when you're really faced with evil, the vibrations of evil, the intentions of evil, the disconnect that some souls seem to have from their God self, how are your men and women gearing up emotionally and spiritually to just be able to take care of their own lives?
Well, Sister Jen, it's a great question because I recognized quite some time ago that it's my responsibility as a leader and as one who influences the culture of our organization and then shares our learning in the profession of policing and in our communities, that it is important for peacemaking and service. It is important to develop skills, abilities for resilience, and to address the chronic and cumulative toxicity of engaging with human suffering, and at the same time deal with in an open-hearted and a positive way to deal with the scrutiny that often comes with intervening between our community and those that want to do evil.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's a test, and maybe even a greater test than ever before. Now, I know that on your watch, you won't allow your men and women to really fall short in their values, and you have become a very progressive voice in the area of taking care of their inner well-being as well as their outer needs. You've begun some, you know, process of meditation, knowing that the stress factor is so high. And can I tell you, my heart's going out to you because now people must be like, Chief, no. You know, it's like,
thank you. I need your heart.
I know, because sometimes people are like, look, there is no time for that. But yet, you know, listen, I know that. But without prayer and without us being sure about who we really stand as people, you and I both know we can get lost in what the outside is trying to direct us to become, and that's not who we really are. So how is your wish to really inspire your men and women to just, guys, contemplate a little, pray, just trust me, this will help us in the long run?
Well, I start with Aristotle offered for us that it is the mark of an educated mind to entertain a thought without accepting it. I used my influence, my position of leadership for good, and I used it by challenging some of our key folks, our tacticians, our defensive tactics folks, those officers that train others to use their bodies to engage with people to eliminate a threat. And I said, what if we had a practice, that we started a practice of holistic wellness, of mind, body, spirit connectivity that requires training, requires advocates, requires an openness to entertain an idea that mindfulness could make us more tactically sound in a crisis situation, and at the same time shows great promise to reduce the toxicity of policing? And at the same time, what if this very same practice could enhance how we interact with people, to just simply allow events to unfold and at the same time offer promise that the very same thing that makes us increasingly more tactically sound could help us engage with people with dignity and respect? What if there was something that could offer promise in all of those arenas? And the men and women of the Tempe Police Department said, we'll try it. And I've been incredibly impressed with their willingness to just dive in and find out what it means for them individually, what it means for them personally, professionally, and for us organizationally, and for us as a community of guardians of people, and that is uniformed police officers and police officers across this nation.
Bravo for your courage and your perseverance. I have to tell you two very simple stories. One has to do with badminton, the other with golf. Both I love tremendously. Where I was playing, I was in a competitive mode, wasn't doing very well, and my partner that I was playing with, I said, please, let's go into our inner zone and let us really detach and not come from the place of the competition. Sylvia, you would not believe we started to play a game that was worth anyone to watch. The second thing is, I'm on the golf course, and my friend who's Reverend Sylvia from the church here in D.C., Unity Church, love her. She knows I'm a workaholic, so she brought me on the golf course. And I said, I hate the sport. It's the most boring thing in the world. Don't bring me here. So what happened was, she says, I know, Sister Jenna, but just try. You need to relax. You work too much. So I saw the ball on the turf, and then I took my golf club, and I just swing at it. I don't have to look at the ball. I know where the ball is, and I would hit it. So she said to me, have you done this before? I go, no. I go, try it again. I tried it again. 10 times, 15 times, I kept hitting the ball. I would drive the ball down the course. She goes, there's no way you've never played this sport. And she says, I've noticed that you're not looking at the ball. You have to look at the ball, Sister Jenna. I go, why? I know where it is. She goes, no, you don't understand. You have to look at the ball to drive it down. I said, no, Sylvia, if I do that, I just know I'm going to be distracted. Sure enough, I looked at the ball, Chief Moyer. I tried to hit it. I could not hit it once. So here's the moral of my story. Meditation works. And I'll tell you what it does to you. It gives you the ability to see sometimes the things you don't need to see and to know where what is. And why I say that with you is that it's as if inner skills develop, that you just know where something is, where things are, what's about to happen, and you can respond with the right energy. And I don't know if that's going to help your force to really understand what you're trying to push, because I think what they develop from that are extra weapons. Yes. Yeah, to be able to keep out of harm's way, but to also know when to go in and to be protected.
That's fantastic, and I really do think it makes sense. And it makes mm-hmm. sense because it not only helps us in those moments of situational awareness and when we are trying to eliminate a threat or go into harm's way, but there's also this interesting thing in policing where mm-hmm. many of us enter the profession open-hearted with entering the nobility mm-hmm. of profession, and quite often the narrative about police officers doesn't match our internal narrative and our drive to answer the call to serve. Mm-hmm. And we try to safeguard ourselves and protect our heart from the suffering and the anguish. And that is an equal enemy to remaining remaining human and open-hearted and compassionate. And our civility is aligned with our core values and dignity and respect, and we can only do that if we have tools like mindfulness, like meditation, that can tell us and teach us to remain open-hearted at the same time that we are engaged with those that are in suffering. And that is one of the many gifts that I think meditation promises for police officers.
I think it's important for there to be some additional information when you go to individuals in Asia, when they do Tai Chi, Kung Fu, martial arts, there is such an internal focus that they can sense what's going on. I cannot remember the name of this ancient personality, Chief Moyer, but it was this Chinese great seer, and he had created such a vortex of presence in his consciousness through his meditation that he would tell his students, come, push me, push me. And when the students would go towards his body to push him, they couldn't even touch him. There was a field around them that was a protection. And I'm so fully in support of what you're doing if everyone really gets it and understands not only do they wear their vests to protect them, but their consciousness can be a protection.
Yes, and to have human beings that are fully present and fully whole at the mm-hmm. end of their professional career is something that we're very committed to here in Tempe, and taking an entire approach to service and civility and dignity and respect and humanity. And so many people are surprised, Sister Jenna, when they say, mm-hmm. wow, this doesn't seem like something police officers would do. It's so woo-woo, so soft. And I say it's actually aligned with what we do. We're just improving it. We used to call it combat breathing 30 years ago when I was training, and it was to clear our mind so that we can have greater situational awareness, develop the ability to be present and focused and grounded in this naturally occurring fog that comes from a crisis. Mm-hmm. And we called it combat breathing then, and now we're we're using some of the foundational techniques to enhance mm-hmm. what we did decades ago.
Mm, congratulations. You know, I think that might be room for the yogi and Chief Moyer to really begin to erase the idea that meditation is woo-woo. It is so much requires people of courage.
Yes.
And stance to really be able to push their truth forward, even in the midst of evil. Now, I might change the conversation, not that I really intend to, and I might take us down one little level lower, okay? I know that according to statistics from the Department of Justice, there are only 13% of law enforcement officials that are women. That's unbelievable. What was your driving force? Like, what inspired your interest in pursuing a career that was so male-dominated? Was it because you just wanted to help? You didn't even think about the gender issues that you would perhaps bump into along the way?
Sister Jenna, how do we get where we are? It is. Mine was such an interesting path. I had a male uncle and great uncle that were police officers. I come from an educated family of engineers and mathematicians and just amazing people. I was always taught, and I'm a product of great parenting. I was taught to be of service to people. And I really was driven to policing by two key factors. One was, I don't like bullies. I don't like bullies at all, and I wanted to do what I could to intervene. And the second was that I didn't see my gender as a barrier. I think I was blinded a bit. I was in a generation that I wasn't in the generation of original trailblazers, but I was in kind of this second wave and rode on the shoulders of some incredibly courageous women. I played sports my whole life, and I was on Little League teams. I was the only girl. So I didn't really see gender as a barrier, but I did certainly have a key event where I rode with a female police officer.
Wow.
Who 30 years ago, who I saw her go from one call of extreme terror to one of compassion, comforting someone who had suffered a loss of her husband of 60 years, to then pursuing someone, to then doing an investigation. I thought, she is so agile and so interesting and amazing, and I wanted to be part of it. She's still my best friend to this day. I think that what we're finding is that women bring a different conversation. Women have been kind of this lone voice of trying something new and interesting, and I think that cultivated my courage to try meditation and policing. It cultivated my courage to continue to speak out, even if it was different. And we're finding that women are changing the conversation. We have different social permission to bring up things, to invite diverse inputs to tackle problems. And I think our society, our local communities are better because of the voice of women, to let men and women speak their truth to who they are, even if it's different, even if it's new and novel. And so I was driven to the profession by this deep desire to serve, and I've been so blessed that I had the opportunity to serve, and I continue my enthusiasm to serve. And also to change the conversation, perhaps.
Absolutely. It's always needed now. Wouldn't it be interesting, or have you had young girls driven with you and seeing the baton being passed?
Yes, I think my generation recognizes that we have to take a seat at the table. We say, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Whoa, I love that.
And it's a powerful message to young women. That you take your seat, you earn your seat, and I say you hold a seat for a sister or a progressive thinking man that wants to be part of strengthening, of enlightenment, of considering new ideas, of considering deeper connections. And so I've had tremendous opportunities one-on-one or in groups to speak to women about how they are important and valuable to the service of policing.
No, that's so fantastic to hear. Looking at virtues and integrity, you talk a lot about transparency. You talk a lot about giving voice and accountability. With the focus on perhaps reducing crime and trying to eradicate the fear of crime, you and I both know the deep sense of balance that requires. I mean, what you're offering is the ultimate state of a balanced life. I don't even care if you're a police officer, the president of the United States, somebody who sweeps our streets, or somebody who works at McDonald's, the balancing act. I know that's delicate. Do you have one or two things that you can offer our listeners as in which you found that you've been able to bring a little bit more balance in such a very complex environment?
Well, I think our mindfulness and meditative practices and permission and using what I say is my influence and my office for good instead of evil. I think the big is to empower our folks to have a conversation about meditation. Mm-hmm. We give every employee in the police department an iPhone, this incredible tool, and they have access to meditation apps. We encourage meditation to be part of who we are. We talk a lot about do what is your truth, be what is your truth. And if your truth is a spiritual endeavor that's different than someone else's, find your truth to remain connected and remain open and aware to those that have suffered more than we have. But acknowledge our own suffering and work through it in your own authentic way. I think that is the biggest piece. The other is, why do we do what we do? Focus on the meaning and the purpose and the why we signed up to be police officers. Mm. That conversation has deepened our connections with each other, and I think opened pathways to different conversations for us that strengthens how we perform in our community.
Thank you for that. What do you see ahead of the future of community policing?
It's so exciting. We were just awarded a grant to team with researchers at the Arizona State University and to examine de-escalation, to take half of our patrol force here in Tempe, uniformed police officers, and pay them and encourage them to go through a meditation class and then to practice meditation. And then we are going to use that group of about 150 folks, and we are going to study the effects of meditation in a scientifically and academically rigorous setting, and at the same time, hopefully cultivate champions, advisors, and advocates of meditation and meditative practices and what they promise to deliver for us as we serve people. I think the future is that men and women will try meditation. They will see that the promises have unfolded as we expect them to unfold. They will be healthier at the end of their careers, and they will look back on their service with incredible pride, acknowledge the suffering and the toxicity of the profession, but find a meaningful way to work through it. I think we're going to find that coupled with a changing narrative about the men and women that suit up every day in our mm-hmm. communities to safeguard our communities and reduce harm.
Chief Sylvia Moyer, thank you for changing the conversation and for creating a new narrative about various things, so especially what I'm picking up from our conversation, the well-being of your men and women who gear up every day and go out on streets that aren't heavenly, let's put it that way.
Yes.
The fact that you're thinking so much in advance because you know the wear and tear of that job, you know the stress of what it takes and the toll that it takes on not only your police officers, but on their families. So
yes,
a big, big thanks and appreciation. I'm sure they're also seeing that as well. Know that you are supported here all the way from D.C. and all over, and we know that the vision, the compassion, and the ethics that you bring to the police force will even change the narrative of what people think about police officers. They are human beings with a heart, and that they aren't all like what the media claims that they can be at times, but that this is a means of bringing to the table perhaps the why everyone or why you all became officers in the first place. So thank you so much for that. Where can our listeners find some more information about you and your work that you're doing, and how can we participate if we wish to?
Sister Jen, I appreciate so deeply that you gave me this opportunity to speak about policing and really the brave men and women of and courageous men and women of the Tempe Police Department. Thank you. You filled my soul today. Any one of your listeners can really access two key places. One is Mindful Badge. Mindfulbadge.com is the site where Richard Gehrling has done training and consulting and some incredible work around this arena. And then, of course, the Tempe Police Department, any of your listeners can send me an email and inquire. We are openly available online, and it's a simple search to find our website, tempe.gov. Mm.
Chief Sylvia Moyer, thank you so much. Please be safe, and many, many blessings.
Thank you, Sister Jenna. It's been an honor.
Mine too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, Chief Moyer really touched my heart, everyone. I have to tell you, just to look at the times that we're in, and look at how much now we need our first responders and our police officers geared up and emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in check and taken care of. I mean, this is important. This is important and this is valuable. So thanks so much to Chief Sylvia Moyer from the Tempe Police Department. Hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. We started it off with hearing a beautiful commentary by Joseph Marshall from the Hopi Tribe, music done by Monique Rhodes. The title was Remember Me, and Chief Moyer and I actually held a moment of silence for not only the police officers in Las Vegas, but for the 59 lives that are gone, the hundreds of lives that are struggling to stay alive, and for the psyche of our nation. It's a lot. We will have to stay strong, and we're going to have to really, really go to God and take power at this time. This is our time to bring God's love and peace and purity down below. This is our time to do that. You've been listening to America Meditating Radio. I'm going to end today's show with Fearless from my Inclusion Revolution Together with Love, which you can get on iTunes or on Amazon, and receive it. It's time for us to become fearless and to not allow the negativity that's out there and the evil that's out there to derail us from who we are meant to be. We are here to love each other the same, and we are here to be kind to each other. Take care, everyone. Take a deep breath and pause for a moment. In a quiet space of my mind, I gently allow my thoughts to settle, offering me some insight into what stirs deeply in my consciousness. When I'm walking and moving around and interacting with others, I'm off guard and I forget what's sitting at the base of my consciousness. External influence can trigger internal realities. But in this very special moment, I choose to allow a sacred courage to emerge as I, the soul, travel through uncharted territories of my inner being. So in this moment, I, the energy of light, the being, the soul, give myself permission to let go of any fear that might be surfacing. Because in this state of sacred trust and sacred courage, I am not alone. In this awareness, I realize I haven't lost anyone or anything. Don't need to think too far ahead or too far behind. I am present here for me. Sitting in this state, I have the ability to overcome any fear that surfaces in thoughts. And being in this present state, there's the feeling of absolute stability, expansion, silence, peace, in a state of being fearless. In this state, I seek no desire. And when I maintain my sacred courage, the past is automatically released. I'm aware. I'm a soul. A being of energy. Imperishable. Immortal, eternal, born from a pure awareness of God's light. I'm never alone. When I remember, I'm a child of the Supreme Being. I'm immortal, eternal, imperishable, and I'm fearless.